and kept talking about it. I went to the website, and now I'm a Punch TV Studios investor.
This is a tremendous opportunity for you and your family.
My children are my everything. I have to make sure that they are taken care of, not just for today, a future for my children.
Join me, and together we can build a multi-billion-dollar media company. Be part owner in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share. Don't wait. This IPO stock offering is counting down to a close. Call now, 310-419-5914, or visit our website, punchtvstudios.com.
Buy your stock. Buy your stock. Buy your stock. Buy your Punch TV Studios stock.
We think it's a great investment. Buy your Punch TV stock today.
Whoever is responsible should know that the United States of America, together with our allies, will find and punish those responsible and drive the evil of radical Islamic terror from the face of the earth.
Vice President Mike Pence, during a stop in Panama, talking again about the terrorist attack in Spain, reiterating the Trump administration's commitment to fighting Islamic terrorism.
This latest attack, the worst terror attack on Spanish soil since the 2004 Madrid train bombings, shows us again that radical Islamic terrorism is one of the greatest threats that we face today.
President Trump is convening a national security summit at Camp David today. The North Korean nuclear crisis in Afghanistan on the top of the agenda. The summit comes after Defense Secretary James Mattis said the administration is very close to some decisions when it comes to strategy in Afghanistan. A resurgence by the Taliban is causing President Trump to decide whether he needs to boost U.S. troop levels in that war-torn nation. USA Radio News.
With free next-day delivery from Staples, you can run your business like a pro. You can guarantee the marketing department that they'll get their supplies tomorrow and guarantee the accounting department that they'll be delivered free. With free next-day delivery, you'll have the ability to move deadlines up and adjust budgets down. Go to Staples.com and get the office essentials you need delivered next day for free. Staples. It's pro time. Orders over $49.99. Place by 5 p.m. Excludes weekends and holidays. Eligible items only.
The Phoenix police chief says they're ready for President Trump to come to town.
Trump is scheduled to speak at a campaign-style rally at the Phoenix Convention Center on Tuesday. Phoenix Police Chief Jerry Williams released a statement saying officers are working towards keeping everyone safe at the event. William also says specifics regarding security planning will not be released, but all officers available will be on hand. She also says her officers are expected to remain professional at all times. I'm Jason Campadonia.
With cars becoming a more common weapon used by Islamic terrorists around the world, major cities are taking steps to protect known tourist areas. New York is taking steps to help protect Times Square. Here's more on that story.
There are counterterrorism officers with long guns, and recently heavy concrete blocks and metal bollards have been scattered throughout this busy tourist area to help prevent a vehicle being used as a weapon.
I don't know if they can prevent that. I mean, they don't have ears and eyes everywhere. I don't think we're safe anywhere.
You feel safe here in Times Square?
I do, actually. It's definitely beefed up over the last few months. I know security's been really tight, actually.
The NYPD says it's redeploying its assets accordingly in response to the Barcelona terrorist attack. In Times Square, Scott Pringle, New York.
Hundreds of demonstrators in Durham, North Carolina, are protesting against white supremacist groups. People in one group are holding up a large banner that reads, "We will not be intimidated." There's also word of a Confederate flag being burned at the event. There were rumors of a white supremacist rally in the city, but so far there's no sign of that existing. USA Radio News.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Okay, we're back, and it will be Sports Guys in just a minute, but I wanted to hopefully anybody listening, and hopefully some people are, because the current conditions at the Somerville and Somerset Airport, we now have an extended weather for the Flemington, New Jersey area. This is very rare, but we have multiple hazards in effect, and there that includes a flash flood watch until midnight and a severe thunderstorm watch until about 9 o'clock tonight, so that this afternoon there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms. However, even though it hasn't been raining, some of these storms could be very severe with damaging winds, heavy rain, and frequent lightning. So the chance of precipitation is 40%, but then into tonight it is 80%, at least 80%. And one of the things that I really caution people, they're not cautioning me, but I'm cautioning anybody out there to be very careful about driving through floodwaters. Anyone who's been in a flash flood knows how dangerous it could be. We generally don't have the type of flash floods in this area that you can experience out in the west, and that's because we don't have the canyons. However, any time that there is water on the road, be very cautious, and my suggestion is to back up, turn around, and go another way. I know this can be especially hazardous in I noticed one of the times that I had real problems was in Newark, because when you go under the overpasses, they dip and they fill with water, and you really don't want to go through some of those because you don't know how deep the water will be. But in any event, tonight, again, severe thunderstorms and then patchy fog. Tomorrow, patchy fog in the morning, then mostly sunny, so it should be a nice day. And then on Sunday, it's going to be sunny. One announcement is that Howell Farms, I don't know if any of you know about Howell Farms, it's a great historic farm just south of Lambertville. It's owned actually by Mercer County, and in the spring, we plant potatoes, and in the fall, we harvest potatoes. And it's especially a fun thing to see the little kids at, because most of them have no idea before they do this that potatoes actually grow in the ground. They think they're just in the grocery store. But the announcement I wanted to make is that they're delaying the potato digging, and I shouldn't say picking because it's really digging. They go through the fields with a potato, I guess, you know, it's not a picker, but it pulls up the furrows, and you can just walk down and pick up the potatoes. But one of the things that the potatoes have to do, of course, is be dry. And right now, because it's been so wet, they have mud that would be clinging, and it would be very hard to get them cleaned to the point where they can be taken to the food pantries. But it's a fun thing, and especially if you haven't been to Howell Farm, Howell Farms with children or grandchildren, it's really a fun thing to do. And then when they also what they'll do on the days where they pick the potatoes, it's digging up the potatoes. We don't really dig them, but we pick them out of the rows and then put them in gunny sacks, and then they're taken to the food bank. But what they also do is they make homemade potato chips, and it's so fun to see the kids who take one of the potatoes that they've picked up and then take it up and have potato chips made out of their potatoes. And they do it the old-fashioned way of an open kettle, and that's how they fry the potatoes. But in any event, as I said, it's delayed 1 week. So, Bill, next week, instead of going to your boat, you can come to Howell Farm. It's also great exercise. Believe me, you know, you envy the fact that these little 3 feet high kids, you know, are scampering along when those of us who are a bit older are just trying to, you know, we have to bend farther, put it that way. But it's great exercise. So anyway, we're back, and be really careful of that, the storms out there today. And, well, football season is upon us, Bill.
That's right. Football starts September 11th, is it? When is the first game? I know that it's in 2 weeks.
Is it Thursday? It's a Thursday night.
It's a Thursday night.
In fact, our Eagles, your Eagles and my Packers.
Well, that game's already been played.
That game has been played. Excuse me.
That was a preseason game, and it's been played. But I forget when the NFL schedule starts. So I guess we have to look at the magic smartphone and figure that out. But, Pat, there's as much chance of me going to pick up potatoes as there is me watching the Stanley Cup playoffs in Saudi Arabia.
Well, I'm disappointed because it's really great. I mean, it's fun, and, you know, I mean, we supply, I don't know, hundreds of pounds, if not more than that, of potatoes to the food banks. And they're all organic. So, you know, they don't sell the potatoes, but they plant. They're all organic. And, of course, it's fun even to see the horses going through the fields in the spring to dig up the furrows when you're planting. And then in the late summer to pick the potatoes. So, come on. Do something different one day.
Oh, I do something different every day, yeah. Pat, but it has nothing to do with potatoes.
Well, you know, I guess maybe because my heritage is a little different than yours. Remember, most of the Irish came here as a result of the potato family. Famine. I don't know if it was most, but my family didn't, but many of the Irish came here in the 1850s as a result of the terrible potato famine because of the disease potatoes. But I still swear that, you know, there's something about potatoes that they're still one of my favorite foods.
Well, who doesn't like potatoes? There's got to be something wrong with you if you don't like potatoes.
I don't know.
There's some way to make potatoes that makes everybody happy. And I have to tell you that I can't think of any way I don't like potatoes. Although, you know, I've had potatoes au gratin, a little too creamy for me. But just give me some French fries or a bag of chips, and I'm a very happy camper. But, you know, speaking of potatoes, we had a very interesting box score last night between the Yankees and the Mets. Mets catcher Travis d'Arnaud was told he needed to switch positions an hour and a half before first pitch Wednesday night.
Really?
Yeah.
So
usually he's the
what
catcher.
What was the switch?
Oh, with second baseman Jose Reyes and third baseman Wilmer Flores both scratched because of sore ribs. The Mets needed Arnaud to handle something entirely different. He was told he'd be starting at third, where he'd never played before, and he'd be in the unfamiliar territory of staring at batters in front of him rather than looking at their backs.
Why would they do that? Why wouldn't they have enough on their roster to have two players who are used to playing those positions to back up the two that were out with, you know, ribs?
Well, it's the Mets, and that's just the way they do things over there at Citi Field. So 45 minutes before the game, he took a bunch of ground balls at third base, and then Once the game started, to hide his defensive limitations, Mets manager Terry Collins shifted him between third and second throughout the game, depending on everything from who was batting at the plate for the Yankees to the likelihood of a potential double play, because in his whole career, he'd never turned a double play as an infielder. So when a right-handed batter was up, the Mets shifted lifelong infielder Astrobal Cabrera, who started at second base, to third, so he could feel the ball likely to be hit to the batter's dominant side. And when a left-hand hitter was up, D'Arnaud went back to third. So these guys went back and forth between first and third 22 times during the nine-inning Yankee game.
Wow.
And it was one of the more unique box scores. Well, the Yankees won, but it's one of the more unique box scores I've ever seen. Now, it's interesting. The Mets' plan to hide D'Arnaud Wednesday was far from foolproof, because in certain double play situations, like those with a right-handed batter at the plate, Collins and his coaches had D'Arnaud stay at third because he had never turned a double play from third. According to Collins, he said, "We just told Travis D'Arnaud that in case of a double play ball, just make sure you get at least one out." So despite the crazy number of switches, for the most part it worked. Cabrera fielded a handful of ground balls at third when D'Arnaud at second. And when D'Arnaud did not need to turn a double play, he did okay. In fact, he only handled one ball all night, a pop-up at second base in the ninth inning, and the Mets lost. Unfortunately, the Mets didn't win, fortunately for us Yankee fans. Collins said the ingenious idea of hiding him by shifting him around was never new. Apparently, he invented this tactic. In 1976, he was a minor leaguer at Class A Albuquerque, and they had a catcher, and they were short of players and right-handers. He was at third, and the other guy went to second. So before the game Wednesday night, he told Mets players that it could be done. "I've seen it's been done before. Not that it's going to work, but it's the only option we have." D'Arnaud said he wasn't nervous handling the two new positions because he'd played all over the infield as a kid and could do it at 28, which is how old he is now. He kept saying that he kept praying for balls to be hit to him. He wanted to make a double play or a diving play down the line or rob someone of a base hit like people do to him.
Well,
so
that's going to be trivia.
Interesting box score.
Yeah, but that in the future is going to be a good trivia question. Don't you agree?
I absolutely agree because, you know, if you look at the box score here today in today's New York Times, he's got D'Arnaud playing third, then second, then third, then second, then third, then second, and then third, second, third, second, third, second, third, second, third, second, third,
okay,
second, third.
Okay,
22
okay.
22 times these guys go back and forth. Now, how did D'Arnaud do in the field? Well, that's an interesting question. He went 1-for-3 and got a run batted in. Now, Arnaud must have had his head spinning during this time, but, you know, baseball's a funny game, and, you know, crazy stuff happens. Meanwhile, the Yankees managed to win. They were up and had the ability not to really use too much of their bullpen. They had... They started their new guy, Garcia. Forgive me, folks. It's been a long day. And then went to their new relief pitcher, Conley. Then went to Warrant and finished with Dave Robertson.
So four pitchers.
The Yankees okay. used four pitchers.
Well,
the
Bill,
Mets used
why
five.
Don't you just hold that thought. Let's talk and get some of our sponsors in because we're hoping that our third compadre, John Manfreda, will get here, and you two are much better at talking baseball than I am. So let's, play.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pamby's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pamby's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, folks, we're back with the sports guys, and Bill was talking about, let's get the name of the two people who were back and forth. In fact, if you have to spell it, okay. And they went back and forth in the Mets-Yankees game
Wednesday
game,
night.
And well, 22 well, times.
Yep, Travis Arnaud.
How do you spell that?
Arnaud and Jose.
How do you spell Arnaud?
D apostrophe A-R-N-A-U-D. And Cabrera, Astrobal Cabrera, and A-S-D-R-U-B-A-L Cabrera, C-A-B-R-E-R-A. And they went back and forth from second to third.
And does Cabrera, or which position does Cabrera usually play? Second?
Usually he's a second baseman.
Okay.
But sometimes he's played third. He's always been an infielder. And Dionard has always been a catcher.
Well, that's what's so unusual, is that
exactly.
Dionard, who is a catcher, would play second and third base.
Right, because remember, you're a catcher, you're playing crouched, and you're always playing behind the batter, looking out at the field. Now here you're a third baseman having to guard the line, and you're looking in at the infield. And what Dionard was hoping was that somebody would hit a real smash down the line so he could dive and grab it, which I always thought was one of the more exciting plays in baseball. You know, when a third baseman makes
that dive. But usually it's the outfielders that do that kind of a dive, at least the games that
that's for a fly ball that's twisting away from them. But if you play the infield, we're really into the game.
Right.
And that's really a fun play.
Well, I'm sure it is. But, yeah, I mean, but a lot of times if they're somehow they underestimate where the ball is going to be in the outfield, they really make some dives.
Well, you know, there was a misplayed fly ball cost the Yankees a couple of runs the other night. Aaron Judge, who's leading the majors with 38 home runs in his rookie year, went after a fly ball that was twisting towards the foul line in right field, and he got to the ball, but it hit the heel of his glove and bounced out.
Wow.
Two base error, and the Mets managed to get a run out of it. And you can see he was running hard after the ball, and it looked like he just didn't have his glove hand in the right position for the ball, because when it hit the heel, it squirted out and away from him, and the ball must have been a very high twisting fly ball heading towards foul territory, but he caught up to the ball while it was in fair territory, and when it hit the heel of his glove, of course, it landed in foul territory, so the ball's in play. And I thought he was going to get to the ball, and it would have looked like a nice, exciting out. Now, remember, this guy is 6'6". He's huge. He's a great athlete. But this is a classic case of a young guy playing in the outfield and simply making a mistake. And that's what makes baseball so interesting.
But had to be a really embarrassing mistake for him. I mean, when it looks like you've caught the ball and then it kind of bounces out of your glove.
Well, I think the only thing worse would be taking it in the part of your anatomy where it's really painful.
Yes, well, listen, somebody just did that. Oh, I know. It was a first pitch. Did you see that? It was somebody who threw out the first pitch. all I know is Dave was laughing because he must have seen it. And I think it hit a photographer. It wasn't even one of the players at this pitch. And I don't know who threw out the first pitch, but I'm sure that he was also a little bit embarrassed.
Well, you know, Pat, tonight, probably the two football teams you hate the most are playing a preseason game. Minnesota's at Seattle. And this looks like the kind of game where you wish both teams could lose.
Yeah. I mean, actually, it was interesting because we could go to a Packer-Minnesota game this year, October, whatever that weekend is, 16th, 17th, maybe the 17th of October. And so we were chit-chatting about whether we'd do that. I would like to see the Minnesota stadium. You know, their new stadium is supposed to be incredible. On the other hand, Dave is not willing to go to Minnesota and put up with the abuse that all Packer fans get. Also, by the way, that's a tough ticket. You know why? I mean, a really tough ticket, a Minnesota Packer game in Minneapolis is very, very tough. One of the toughest tickets to get.
Why is that?
Well,
because of the rivalry, like Packers-Bears?
Well, actually, because in northern Wisconsin, for years, the people in northern Wisconsin could only get Minnesota games on television. So, and because of so many people moving back and forth between Minnesota and Wisconsin, they're almost, in some of those towns, I'm sure there's almost an equal division in fans for Minnesota and fans for the Green Bay Packers. So other parts of Wisconsin, you know, it's you don't usually see any fans except Packer fans. So as a result, everybody in northern Wisconsin and in Minnesota want to go to those games because they're going to see their team.
Oh, sure. By the way, your Packers are playing the Washington Redskins in Washington tonight. Actually, I should say the Washington NFL team. We've got to be politically correct on this station. And our New York Jets are at Detroit at Ford Field. So a couple of matchups probably to see who they're trying out. The Jets, I think, are going to have another one of those 4-12 seasons or 5-11 seasons. It's not going to be anything pretty. But the Giants are playing Cleveland at Cleveland Monday night, August 21st. And that'll be an ESPN game.
And, well, that's a season. I mean, this is still
preseason. Oh, yeah.
Really?
This is the second week of the preseason.
And it's going to be on ESPN?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's because it's Giants.
Yeah, exactly.
See, now, I would be very surprised if the Packer Washington game is televised tonight.
I'd be really surprised too. It's probably going to be televised in the Washington area because they have a pretty good cable TV contract.
And, of course, we didn't get to see the Packers-Eagles in our area because we get the New York stations. You may get the Philadelphia stations. I know down in Hopewell, where my daughter, you know, lives, they get Philadelphia stations.
Well, we don't because our cable network doesn't give us Philadelphia sports. They give us New York area sports, so... in the summer, well, I don't mind, but in the fall and winter, I like to watch the Eagles and the Flyers, and it's a little tough to do that unless I want to get in the car and drive somewhere to a sports bar.
Well, or get, as we do, the reason we got satellite television, and we buy, you know, the NFL package, even though there are times where we have very few games because we're actually when we went out for three games... Last year we still got it, even though there were only a few games that we wouldn't get on television because they were just broadcast on regular television.
Do you ever turn the sound off on your TV because you can't stand the sports announcers?
Well, here I don't, but definitely in Wisconsin, many people turn off the TV. They watch the television, but they actually listen to radio broadcasts because, you know, some of those broadcasters, you know, they're always broadcasting from Green Bay. They're really knowledgeable, and it's more fun to listen to them.
I'm not surprised. I'm finding that the Yankee television broadcasts, for some reason, I'm finding them more and more irritating. Now, maybe it's a function of age. Maybe it's a function of they're just annoying people. I don't know.
Yeah, but they have to, in my view, they chit-chat too much.
I think so. I want to hear about the game. I don't want to hear about anything else.
Exactly. Me too. I want, and, you know, sometimes they're good comments, but, you know, so often it's kind of like, so what? You know, let's... You can be quiet. Unlike radio, you can on television, they don't have to be talking all the time.
No, and the beauty of radio for me is that you can use your imagination to watch the field or the ice or the court, and a good announcer really does make you feel like you're there.
Well, that's true, although I have to say there's certain things that I think radio really enhances, like, well, I remember listening to a lot of the mystery, you know, theater. And, you know, mystery theater was, you know, great because it was so imaginative. On the other hand, I do like to watch football. I prefer watching football, going to the game, and then watching it on television after the game, listening to the radio announcer at that point, because... There definitely are things that you miss at the game, and however, you know, it's just I still, some people say they just as soon watch a game on television. Not me. I would much prefer being there.
For football, I'd rather be at the game. For hockey, I'd rather be at the game. The problem with football on TV is that the camera follows the quarterback. Well,
exactly.
Okay, that's where the play starts.
Exactly.
But remember, I like to watch the backfield and the ends because that's where you know what kind of play you're going to get. And I also like to watch the defense.
I like to watch the defense, and especially maybe I got into that habit back when Reggie White was playing because it was almost always fun to watch what Reggie was doing. And the same thing with some of the – I mean, I frankly, when Peppers was with the Packers, and I think they should have kept him for another year or two, he was fun to watch. And, of course, Clay Matthews is, you know, whether he's – wherever he's playing, inside or outside, you know, he's always a fun player to watch. But Reggie was just – just unbelievable. I mean, I would usually watch the defense whenever he was on the field.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the really cool thing, too, is if you have played more than just pickup ball, you've had a little bit of coaching, and I've never really played organized football except as a club sport in college. What would happen is we were always taught watch the guards and the tackles on offense because that's going to teach you what the play is going to be, the way they set themselves
exactly.
In advance. And, you know, when you're looking from above with a camera over top of the field, you can't always see what you can see perhaps from a 30-yard line seat 40 rows up where you see the guys are getting down into the three-point stance and you're looking at their helmets and looking where they're trying to figure out where they're looking and just how they're bunching themselves so that they can begin to fire off from that position once the ball is snapped. So I think that's a really cool thing.
Well, and the other thing that I really enjoy when I'm at a game is when the quarterback is facing you, you know, it's fun to watch how everyone is lining up. And, you know, someone like Aaron Rodgers, I mean, sometimes you can't see where he's looking, but you know that he knows where every player is. And there are times where he throws and you're thinking, you know, there's nobody that's going to be able to catch that ball. And yet they do. Now, Favre, on the other hand, he sometimes threw the ball and you'd say there was nobody that was going to catch the ball. And you were right. There was nobody except maybe the other team that was in position to catch the ball. But it is, you know, I think most people, unfortunately, they just look at the quarterback and they don't get a sense of really, you know, all of the intricacies of the game. And what I also like to see is when somebody like Aaron Rodgers, you can tell he's not following the play that everybody thought was going to be the play. And, you know, he can be very... creative. I don't know. What's a better word? Not innovative, creative. You know, at the last minute, if something's falling apart, he'll put something back together. And usually the guys down the field will be able to pick up what he's doing and realign themselves. I guess I'm not explaining that very well. But
oh, sure. But, you know, that sometimes that's a design play. It's like play action.
Yeah, but sometimes you can tell it's really not designed. It just
it's a broken
had
play,
to happen.
And they get lucky.
But, well, broken play, but they're good enough and work together well enough that it doesn't turn out to be a broken play, just a different play.
Well, that's true. Sometimes when you watch a game, whether it's football or hockey, a game where there's continuous motion in hockey until a whistle blows or football play-by-play, I've always been taught that you want to watch the player's hips or you want to try to watch their shoulders because that's going to tell you where the guy's going to run or skate. And sometimes these guys can fool you because they're just so shifty. That was one of the things I liked about watching LeSean McCoy, who's now with Buffalo, last I heard. Good running back, Wilbert Montgomery, because of his size and the immense power that he had to blow through a line. could hit holes and keep going, and it was hard to bring him down. But LeSean McCoy seemed to have this gift for finding the hole and wiggling through. I always thought that was kind of neat to watch. That's why I was sorry when he went to Washington.
Well, you know, there have been a number of players that I've really been unhappy that either they took better deals when they had the chance, when they were free agents, or the Packers decided to let them go. But in any event, let's take a couple more spots from our sponsors and then go ahead and hopefully John will make it through the rain, which I guess is starting.
It's starting to look like rain out there, Pat. It looks pretty grim.
It looks grim, but so far in Flemington, it hasn't started. So let me play a couple spots here, if I can find the number.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunter County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off a Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunter Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Well, Bill, we're back on, and I know that there's got to be a series coming up between the Yankees and the Red Sox, and since John isn't here yet, why don't we at least give you a word in edgewise?
You know, last weekend, the Yankees lost 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox, but it could have gone either way. The Yankees are now behind by 4 games to the Red Sox, and they were fortunate enough to win 3 from the Mets this week. The Yankees managed to get themselves to be 3.5 out. And, you know, if they sweep the Red Sox, which I don't think is going to happen, they could find themselves in a virtual tie for first place. Last night the Yankees had a great game. They were up 7-0 on the Mets. The Mets came back and managed to get 5 runs, but Gary Sanchez hit a 3-run home run in the first inning off of Steve Matz, and then managed to get 2 more RBI. So he actually had a 7 RBI game, which is pretty cool. Additionally, we saw another home run from fabulous Yankees rookie Aaron Judge. Now, Judge misplayed a fly ball that opened the door for the Mets scoring to begin. He had a twisting fly that was headed towards the right field foul line, and surprisingly he got to the ball, but the ball hit the heel of his glove and bounced onto the field, and he had to chase the ball down, so it was a 2-run error. So you never know in baseball. I think, you know, being the size that he is, he's a 6'6 kind of guy. 6'6". He has a tremendous amount of speed for a big guy. But the Mets had some problems last night. Steve Matz, one of their better pitchers, just had a bad outing and gave up a pile of runs in the first couple of innings. Additionally, Yankee ace Luis Severino plowed through the Mets lineup with 9 strikeouts and 6 1/3 innings of 1-run pitching. the power-hitting catcher, Gary Sanchez, as I mentioned, got home run number 22, and as I said before, got five runs. It's a funny thing. It seems this time around this season, the Yankees own New York and the Mets don't. The Mets, who are supposed to be built around pitching this year, have really seen all their pitching falter, and they've had one injury after another and one problem after another. I like a stadium series, and I like it when both the Yankees and the Mets are playing well. One of my favorite World Series was the Yankee-Mets World Series, and I was privileged to go to a game two that went 14 innings in Yankee Stadium. And, you know, when you get home at 4 in the morning, after having seen a great baseball game, the game was just so good, I couldn't fall asleep. I enjoyed that game so much.
Well, in from this area, how do most people get into Yankee Stadium? Do they drive? Do they take public transportation?
Well, I have a funny way to go to Yankee Stadium. First of all,
walk.
No, it's worse than that. I try never to go on the Major Deegan Expressway. Now, Major Deegan must have been a very, very bad guy because they named the world's worst expressway after him. He must have been a traitor or something, Pat.
Well, but look at, you could say the same thing about LaGuardia because they named the airport after LaGuardia, one of the worst airports in the continental United States.
Really? Why is LaGuardia so bad? I've flown in and out of there maybe once or twice. If I have to go through New York, it's usually JFK or Liberty at Newark.
I always forget that Newark is now called Liberty. Oh, the pilots don't like LaGuardia. It's a short runway. There's water. It's just, I will never fly in or out of LaGuardia, even if the Well, first of all, from here, it's so much easier.
It's a tough airport to get to.
Yeah, and it's like Midway in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Believe me, folks, don't ever take a trip to Chicago and fly into Midway if you're then going to take ground transportation or especially if you're going to rent a car. And O'Hare, people think, well, Midway is in middle of Chicago. Yep, that's true, and it's impossible to get to. In any kind of time. But I think the same thing with LaGuardia. Actually, I find Newark is, you know, really easy to get in and out of.
Oh, I enjoy getting in and out of Newark. It's a lot easier than most airports. The best airport for my money, though, is Philly, particularly if you need a quick in and out or a quick getaway. One of the things I like about flying in and out of Philly also, as long as there's no game letting in or letting out, because it is near the sports complexes, is you can get right on 95. But, you know, there's flights now out of Trenton to Florida and to some other places. So I have this occasional thought to jump on a plane, head out to Chicago, go to O'Hare, and then take the train and then the bus into downtown and go to Soldier Field or see the Blackhawks play.
Well, I think that's a great idea, but I don't think you can do it from Trenton. I've flown to Florida from Trenton, and you're right, it's very easy to get into. And, of course, it also depends on where you are. You live right near Flemington. I obviously live very close to Clinton, very close to 78, so that I'm probably about equal distance between Allentown and Newark airports and would much prefer hopping on a plane in Allentown. And in fact, in the past, we were able to fly out of Allentown to Green Bay, or at least to Milwaukee. And I looked recently, and now I can't get a flight out of Allentown either. You know, they used to have direct flights from Allentown to Milwaukee. And, where they're flying now, I don't think I looked at United, but I looked at that, what is that other airline? So anyway, folks, when you fly, I agree, though. I want to go to Chicago to go to a game. Again, Dave doesn't really like to go to other fields because sometimes the fans aren't exactly nice.
Well, you know, I grew up cutting my teeth going to Philadelphia sporting events.
But you were a fan, a Philadelphia fan. You know, that is one of, that's the worst place I've ever been to watch a game. Granted, the new stadium, I haven't had quite the same problems, but they used to always talk about how bad it was in Oakland. Frankly, I didn't find the same thing in Oakland.
Well, you know, we know what they say about us Philly fans, which doesn't kill us, makes us stronger. If we can watch a game in the old Veteran Stadium and see the Eagles lose to Dallas in the last 2 minutes, and the fans break out into fist fights on the field or in the stands, we can watch a game anywhere.
Well, you're right about that, but it's, if you're from the visiting team, I mean, the last time, and I can't remember what game it was, but back when it was a Philadelphia Green Bay game, one of the last ones at Veterans Stadium, and the next day, the newspapers in Green Bay, I can't tell you the number of articles from people saying that, you know, the horrible time they had in Philadelphia, how nasty the people were, et cetera, et cetera. So,
people in Philadelphia figure that if you're going to show up and boo the Eagles, you'll fit right in. Meanwhile, we're getting some thunder, folks, and
we're
not talking
starting about
Trenton Thunder either. We're talking about thunder out of the sky.
Yep, I think our thunderstorms are starting. So be careful also when you're driving with the, if the rain starts this huge torrential rain, you know, if you don't have to go out in it, don't. I feel badly for the people that love to go out on Friday night in Clinton, because obviously that's not going to be something that goes on tonight. I mean, nobody's going to be walking around the streets in Clinton. And I also feel sorry for the people at the shore. They've really had a tough summer, although tomorrow, if you're interested in going to the shore in the afternoon, it should be nice, and Sunday should be beautiful. So it's a good time to, you know, finish out the summer and try to get some time in down at the ocean.
Well, you know, folks, tonight, if you've got to stay in and stay dry, it's a good night to watch the Yankees up at Fenway. Drew Pomeranz is starting for the Red Sox. He's the Sox number two starter. And he was a deadline acquisition by Boston last season.
Yeah, but where are they playing?
In Boston at Fenway.
Oh, okay. So maybe they're not going to have our weather.
Yeah. That's what everybody's hoping. He's got a 12-4 record, a 3.39 ERA, and no losses since June 11th and just one since May 14th. He's 6-0 right now with 5 no decisions in his last 11 starts. He's won both of his August outings so far, including one against the Yankees in the Bronx last week. He's going to be facing off against Yankee rookie Jordan Montgomery, who pitched a strong game against Chris Sale of the Red Sox last Sunday. 1 run, 2 hits in 5.5 innings. So he comes into this start with his game, with his team 4 games behind the Sox after sweeping 4 from the Mets. So these are really important games for the Yanks because the clock is ticking.
Now, what is their situation now? What is the Yankees situation? Because I know for a while it was not good.
The Yankees had the good fortune of playing the Mets and winning 4 in a row after going 1-2 against the Red Sox last weekend. Now, the Yankee-Red Sox series could have easily gone the other way with the Yankees winning 2 and the Red Sox winning 1. But, you know, the Red Sox rallied for 3-1 in the bottom of the 9th last night to complete a 4-game sweep of the St. Louis Cardinals this week. So the Red Sox are red hot. Eduardo Nunez has invigorated the Boston offense since he came over from the Giants. You know, and the Sox and the Yankees play again in the Bronx August 31st to September 3rd. Now, Montgomery is a good pitcher. They're watching a number of innings. He's 7-6. He's got a 3.94 ERA, but he hasn't won a game since July 25th. He's worked 10 and a third innings, allowed just 5 hits and 2 runs. He's walked 3, and he struck out 11 guys. He's got a pair of no decisions against the Sox this year. Pomerantz is going to have to figure out a way to keep Didi Gregorius and Gary Sanchez from getting on base. Gregorius is 8 for 17, and Sanchez is 6 for 13 with three homers against the lefty. Todd Frazier, a new Yankee acquisition, is 1 for 8. Now, the Red Sox really haven't seen a lot of Jordan Montgomery, and nobody there has more than six at-bats against him, except for last Wednesday night's hero, Mookie Betts, who right now is 1 for 6 against him. He had a two-out, two-run double in the ninth on Wednesday night to give the Red Sox their ninth walk-off win of the season. And it's tied for the major league lead. The next night, Saturday, we're going to see CC Sabathia coming off the disabled list, and then we'll have Luis Severino probably on Sunday.
So how do they know when he's really going to be coming off disabled list?
Well, that's what Joe Girardi says, and it remains to be seen. The Yankees want to rest Aroldis Chapman. They've had to use Dileen Betances to get the last three outs after Curtis Granderson hit a Grand Slam home run in the ninth inning to make it a 7-5 Yankee win last night. So who knows whether we're going to see Betances playing. I'm really interested in seeing how this series plays out, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens because both today first pitch was 4:10, so I think the game has already started. So it'll be interesting to see how that's shaken out right now. Let's see if we can't get a score.
Okay. Well, our friend John has still not shown up, so I wanted to get a little Yankee Red Sox battle going here, but it doesn't look like we're going to do that. And so what's happening, if anything, with hockey now? I do know that, as far as junior hockey, they're going to be starting shortly. They're already in practice. All the high school football teams are really out there on a daily basis starting to practice. And, the kids are really enthusiastic. And, parents mean that they have to run around a lot. So, but what happens in professional hockey at this time of year? Anything?
Well, what's going on this time of year is a lot of the players are coming back from competitions overseas, like in Finland or Russia or Norway, and some of the other
Scandinavian
companies.
So they play over there later than we do, and they actually...
They have summer leagues, because remember, they have... in Sweden, there are teams that play split seasons, and they only play twice a week, usually one game on the weekend and one game midweek. They don't play as many back-to-backs as we play in the NHL here in the U.S. or the AHL. But in a lot of the European countries, particularly the Nordic countries, hockey goes all year round.
Actually, it seems to me it would be a lot less stressful and a lot less, perhaps not as physically damaging, if in fact they didn't play as many games. And I think I've mentioned this before, the year that they went on strike, then I got very interested in hockey again, because football was pretty much over when they started back. And I just think that, I wonder if more people wouldn't attend if they had fewer games. At least I haven't been to that many professional games, but at least the Devils, when I've been there, have never really filled the stadium.
Well, the Devils have fallen on some tough times. They haven't made the playoffs a couple years in a row. I think that New Jersey is in a rebuilding mode, as is Philadelphia. And with a little luck, we're going to see Philadelphia and New Jersey go head-to-head and have some interesting things going on this season. Meanwhile, as you know, there have been a lot of roster changes in Philadelphia with the Philadelphia Flyers. We'll be talking about that in the next couple of weeks as we get closer and closer to the hockey schedule. The first hockey regular season game sees Philadelphia being hosted by the San Jose Sharks on October 5th. So that's going to be an interesting game. And on September 17th, the exhibition season starts with Philadelphia playing the Islanders in Brooklyn, of all places. Now, the